Voices of Legacy with yours truly, Pastor Carl. We're honored to have with us Mr. Eric Sherman, a retired firefighter who has dedicated his life to service both in the community and in faith. Following a distinguished career with the Toledo Fire Department, Mr. Sherman transitioned into ministry. Actually, I believe he's been in ministry before he retired from the fire department. But he does lead Victory Life Worship Center here in Toledo, Ohio. Additionally, he holds a prominent position as bishop presiding over the Churches of the Living God organization, a role previously held by his father, the late Bishop James Sherman, almost said Mitchell, James Sherman, though both public service and pastoral leadership are part of his life. We're going to talk about a lot of things today as we introduce to some. See, I'm going to do churchanese for you today, Bishop. Introduce to some and present to others, none other than Bishop, Pastor, and former firefighter, Mr. Eric Sherman. Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening, Mr. Eric. How are you?
I'm great, Mr. Mitchell. How are you today?
I can't complain. We're blessed to have you here for the Voices of Legacy. We thank you for coming. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Eric Sherman. Just celebrated 66 years of being here on the earth.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. 33-year veteran with the Toledo Fire Department. Also, I've been pastoring a church locally here in Toledo, Victory Life Worship Center. Mm-hmm. This is our 25th year for that as well.
Awesome.
And as you said in your intro, this is my second year of in the bishopric of overseeing 8 churches in our district in the organization, the Church of the Living God.
Awesome. How big is that organization?
Well, the organization is not a very big organization. I would say statewide, about 150 churches with missions in various in Africa and Jamaica and other part of the Caribbean. So
awesome.
It's not a very big organization, but very sound.
Awesome.
Very sound with a great legacy.
Well, size isn't the matter. I think effectiveness, and you all do a lot in the community as well. Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct, yes.
What type of programs do you have in the community here in Lucas County?
Right here in Lucas County, we just recently adopted Glenwood Elementary School.
Oh, okay.
And we had do ministry work with the Cherry Street Mission and also the Sparrow's Nest as well.
Mm.
So and also the YWCA as well. So we stay pretty active.
Awesome. So ministries of help.
Yes, exactly.
Helping the people out. That's great.
Exactly.
Could you share a little bit of your journey in the firefighting field as well as you've already done with the ministry?
Well, in the year of 1989, I got sworn in into the Toledo Fire Department, had a very illustrious career, 33 years with the Toledo Fire Department. The last 5 years of my tenure there, I transferred to a department called EAP, Employment Assistance Program, with the Toledo Fire. Still a firefighter, but I wanted to venture to something else. I was getting older, but I just had a heart to help people. And with the Toledo Fire EAP, our main concern was addressing the emotional and mental needs of our firefighters.
Mm.
What a lot of people don't know, police and fire suicides have been increased dramatically across the country.
Mm.
One of the reasons is that a lot of times the firefighters accumulate so much in their mental capacity of seeing so many bad runs.
Mm.
Our minds were not geared to absorb the things that we see.
Mm.
So my job was to help process a lot of these runs, as well as everyday life, marital life, parenting, everything from A to Z. I was responsible for helping our firefighters navigate so that they won't get to a level of being suicidal.
Wow.
So it was like a ministry within itself. And the things that I could not try to get through, we always had a professional counselors and professional help as well. So I would act as a liaison to connect our guys with those services.
Hmm.
So it was quite tasking, but it was very rewarding, very rewarding.
So kind of handling a form of PTSD, I guess?
That too, PTSD. And also, as I said, the everyday things with, that life has to present itself with family issues. And you compile all of that together. It's a time bomb waiting to happen unless things are alleviated. And so my job was to help alleviate these things at an early stage.
Gotcha. And you guys really do get to see a lot of unfortunate stuff, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes. As I said earlier, I don't think the human mind was designed to see the things that we see unaffected. So I have a greater respect for police officers. I have a greater respect for our men and women that's in the military that have actually seen these things, because they just don't automatically leave. We try to cover them up because that's what the human mind tries to do, but still it's there. And so our job a lot of times is to help deal with that while it's there, so it doesn't explode into something else.
Understood. That sounds like a very important thing to address when it comes to firefighting and our first responders. In your family, I guess my next question would be, are there a lot of firefighters and police officers? Is that something that is common in your family?
Well, no, not really. My brother, he's a retired firefighter as well. And I do have a first cousin that he's a retired police officer. In fact, I have two first cousins that are retired police officers. And to come think about it, I do have another cousin that has retired from the Toledo Fire Department as well. So I guess you can say, to a degree, it's a family thing.
Just not generational.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
What did your dad do again?
My dad was, he was a welder fabricator. He did that for over 30 years. But he was a bivocational minister as well as I was a bivocational minister as well.
And explain bivocational.
Bivocational simply means that I operate in the ministry and I work a secular job as well.
Gotcha.
So I did that throughout the tenure of my job with the Toledo Fire Department.
So you're no longer that.
No longer that.
You're full time, as it were.
Exactly.
But retired.
Yes.
But not retired.
Retired from the firefighter, which gives me more opportunity to work with the ministry. Yes,
awesome.
Sir.
Awesome. So reflecting on your time with the Toledo Fire Department, the values and experiences in that career that influenced you, has any of that actually influenced your pastoral work?
Well, to the degree that many coworkers that I work with, they are now members at our church.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, yes. I could say.
So if a fire ever broke out at Victory Life Worship Center, you're going to be all right.
Yeah. And even further than that, because now firefighting, most of our firefighting across the country, 70% of that, maybe 75, almost 80% is EMS. And so all of our firefighters are trained to be EMTs as well as firefighters. So when you call 911, that's why you get a fire truck.
Boy, you really are right there.
So to answer your question, so if anyone ever have any medical conditions, a lot of people are trained to address those medical conditions.
Yeah. We used to train folks. We used to have nurses in about every church, at least in our in the church tradition. So that's a good thing, because it's not as common anymore, unfortunately. Your dad. Your dad, the late Bishop James Sherman?
Yes.
He left a significant legacy in the Churches of the Living God. How has that influenced and shaped your own vision and approach to ministry?
Very good question. Well, I would say this. I want to talk about the natural side of the legacy that he left. It's amazing. I was born a preacher's kid.
You're a PK for real.
PK for real, yeah. Never wanted that title. But what it allowed me to see a real man of high integrity and moral values. You hear so many stories about people that are saying the talk, but not living the walk. Well, I had a chance to observe him for all of my life, and he's always been a man of high integrity. With that, he left a legacy of hard work, which he had gleaned from his dad, too, which even it had such an impact upon me of hard work, labor, doing a job right, working with the spirit of excellence, to the point that I started working when I was 15 years old. I've been in the actual Social Security network for probably close to 50 years.
Wow. What were you doing at 15?
At 15, I was started at a dishwasher at Hillcrest Hotel.
Oh, wow.
Back in the 70s.
The old Hillcrest, yeah, when it was real.
Yeah, when it was a real
hotel.
Yeah. And so just seeing my dad work, my grandfather work, I come from a legacy of hard workers. Even after I got married, I worked two jobs for 11 years. Mm-hmm. Then once I got the fire department, we always had an opportunity to work a second job. So total, I've probably worked two jobs for over 20, 25 years.
Wow.
Again, I attribute that hard work to my dad.
And that's so awesome.
So that also, that hard work, ethics of hard work, it also transcended when it worked in the ministry as well. Mm-hmm. I seen him start a church from scratch, which never was my idea to do, even though I ended up doing it.
Yeah.
And just to see the hard work that he put in it, the emotions that I said that he put his heart and soul in building something for the Lord. And it was just amazing to watch his journey. Again, not knowing that I would walk a journey that was similar, but him being a good example of what a real man of integrity and of God should look like, it had a resounding effect upon me.
So it stuck with you?
Yeah, even when I went wayward for a while.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, I went wayward for a while, which a lot of preacher kids do because of the pressure and the expectation of the community. And after a while, you get tired of that. And so you want to
Isn't your daddy—
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Lord. Your dad, what did he do for a living outside of church?
Okay, he was a welder fabricator. Mm-hmm. He was responsible to building the frames of buildings.
Oh, wow.
The frames of the truck scale. And even the Renaissance Center downtown Detroit, they were responsible for doing a lot of prefabrication. We had a conference there maybe about 20 years ago, and he's walking around in the hallway. I said, what are you walking around looking for? He says, well, when we do prefabrications, we put our mark on it. So he's looking around to see if the structure, I'm looking for my mark.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And in music as well?
Yes, yes. He was what we would call a steel guitar player. Which is Hawaiian guitar. He played that.
Now, you're going to have to explain what in the world is a Hawaiian guitar.
Okay, a Hawaiian guitar is a guitar that is played on the lap.
Oh.
Has strings, and you would run a bar across the strings instead of the frets.
Yeah.
And so he played that for years, and he learned that in the church as well as a drummer. And there's music all in his blood because his dad, it was a guitarist, and his dad, my grandfather also, he played the keyboard as some.
Mm-hmm.
Just that natural talent being inside of him, he did hand it down to my brother and my sister and I. I became a bass guitar player for a church.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was a regular guitar player and drummer.
Uh-huh.
And my sister, as you well know, which is a professional vocalist right now, awesome keyboard player she is now, as well as an organist. So
what's her name?
Her name is Melody Smith.
Oh, okay.
Melody Smith. And I attribute it to my dad. I remember when my brother and I was first starting to learn the guitar, we didn't know anything. And he said, well, the first thing you have to know is how to keep time, which he called what keeps the beat, keep the cadence of a song. And everything just spun off from there.
Well, so you're a musician, too.
Well, I used to be.
Now, it's supposed to be like falling off of a bike.
Well, I still can play, but because music has progressed so much since the 70s and 80s when we used to play. But I can dibble and dabble with the keyboard, the harmonica, and some with the steel guitar.
All right.
But and drums. Dad was a drummer, and I can hold my own, a regular beat. But I attribute all that to him, but I don't do a whole lot of that.
Sounds like you're letting the young people handle that.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Exactly. With the trends of music now,
That's amazing. So music is a good part of your legacy as well.
I would say yes.
So in what way do you see yourself carrying forward your family's spiritual and, I guess, musical legacy?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about musical, but with the spiritual legacy, as you first stated, my father, he was the vice president for the Churches of the Living God.
Yeah.
Before he passed.
Yes.
Maybe for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
prior to that, I think he did pastor church for about 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So before he retired, also he was the president for the national organization, but also he has a district, which in the Churches of the Living God is called diocese, mm-hmm. that he supervised 8 churches that some were in Michigan and some were in Illinois and some were in Ohio. Mm. And so when he before he transitioned, it was his desire to have his successor, which was me at the time, be consecrated as a bishop. I had to go through numerous of classes and interviews and things. It's like a 2-year process. And so I give him credit for that, for looking into the future. This was long before he became sick. So when he did transition, everything was set in place for me to take over. It wasn't my initial desire to do anything like that, but I wanted to keep up the legacy that he's left.
Awesome.
Because I do have a heart for churches and have a heart for pastors. I'm not so much for the title, but just having a heart to help people out.
So actually overseeing, not just having a title.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which does happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think we all know that. Yeah. So Victory Life Christian Center.
Worship Center
and Community Outreach. Can you tell us more about the mission and outreach and initiatives of Victory Life Worship?
Yes. Our main concern is to minister as many people as we can so that they'll be spiritually whole, but at the same time, we try to meet the physicality needs of people. We have initiatives that we're putting into place to help young mothers, single parents, initiatives in place that we have to help the people that are on drugs and for people that do have mental illnesses. We believe in church, but there's a whole ministry beyond the four walls of the church.
Yes.
The homeless, the children that are going through so many terrible things at this time. And so that's where my focus is at. Yes, we have awesome worship, awesome services, but I believe that when Jesus was here on this earth, his church was outside of the four walls.
Yeah.
And that's where my focus tend to be, outside of the four walls. And also I'm trying to implement that same message to the churches that I supervise, that our mission is beyond the four walls.
So to duplicate that effort, spread it out.
Exactly.
Awesome. Any challenges that you've faced in ministry over the years?
I guess the major challenge for me, as well as other leaders, is just recruiting volunteers to have the same heart and passion that the leader has. God has blessed us with an awesome congregation, but as I said earlier, that when we work beyond the four walls, we need as much help as we can get. God has blessed us financially, so that's not an issue right now. And just recruiting committed volunteers, that's been probably the challenge throughout my tenure of my ministry.
Something just popped in my mind. I want to moonwalk back. That means go back.
Okay.
To the firefighting. And you don't have to share if it's not comfortable for you to do so. But what was probably the most positive, I'll go positively memorable experience you ever had in firefighting?
That's a very good question, because most of the runs that we come on, it comes out, a lot of them come out with a positive ending. Probably one of the most positive ones is that we walk into a house and we can see that there's no furniture, there's nothing there around Christmas time, and have little children there. And probably one of the most rewarding things that I've experienced is my captain going back to the house on his day off and say, "I want to supply you guys with Christmas gifts."
Oh, wow.
And furniture. And I found out that he did it, and I got on board to help him out to do that. But he did the majority of that. There are a lot of stories that you don't hear about the positive things that firefighters do. That's probably one of the most rewarding. Not to downplay of the life-saving things that we've done. I think my first life-saving event, there was a young kid about 5 years old trapped in a burning trailer, house trailer. And we found him and got him out, and he's still living to this day. And that's been over 30, 35 years ago. That was pretty rewarding, too. And again, many times that we've brought back people whose heart have stopped through CPR. Mm-hmm. I think Toledo Fire, and it was given through one of the national ratings that we had a high rating of bringing people back that we do CPR. I mean, throughout the whole country. So we do have, there are good initiatives that are in place and procedures that we do. And we're very aggressive when it comes, well, throughout the whole job, but when it comes to someone down, we're on top of it. So that's rewarding as well.
Awesome. And the flip side of that,
if
you're able, probably, I won't say the most traumatic because I don't want to bring up anything traumatic, but well, I guess so. What was the worst experience you've ever had that you can share?
Yeah, the worst experience I had have had. You can see the burned bodies and a lot of blood, but probably one of the most traumatic ones that I experienced was early in my career. We respond to a boy that was unconscious. He was 8 years old, and we worked him, but he was cold. What we did not know that he was a victim of child abuse. And I had to testify at the trial of his accused. And seeing the autopsy photos just brought me memory of my son, because my son was 8 years old at the time, and I almost broke down on the stand because of seeing that exchange, of seeing the picture. I could see my son, the same thing. The second thing that was most traumatic is when we lost two firefighters in 2014. That was very traumatic. And I guess to add to that trauma, I had just lost my 29-year-old son with a pulmonary embolism just a week before that.
And that was the same son that you were referring to?
Yeah, same son I was referring to, years down the road. Yeah, years down the road, yeah. In fact, we were at his wake on a Sunday evening, and my crew come in to visit, you know, with the family in the wake, and they said, well, we can't stay long because we just had two fatalities. That was probably one of the worst days of my life.
Wow. Have you ever been hurt?
Many times.
Oh, that was a quick yes.
Nothing super serious. I remember in my career, early in the career, going through stairwell, standing
going
on it.
Through it?
Well, yeah, it collapsed. It fell through, and the next thing I knew, I was in the basement. That happened twice.
Wow.
Yeah, so I
because of the fire?
Because of the fire. And the fire had weakened the stairs. And me being a rookie, I didn't know. There's probably a certain position I should have been on the stairs. Ended up in the basement. That occurred twice. I had a ceiling that collapsed on me. Probably one of the latest ones, I end up falling down a set of stairs because of the building was so full of smoke. But nothing serious.
That sounds pretty serious. Yeah. but you survived.
Yes, I survived. Yeah. And I'm thankful for that because there are a lot of people that come along with me that didn't survive.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That was interesting. It sounds like you have a book in you. Maybe.
Maybe so.
Faith and community building, I guess, leading from your service as a firefighter into your faith and into the community. It seems like there's been a lot of opportunities, especially coming out of COVID, to refashion the church to be of service, which you've kind of covered already. What have you seen? The experience that we had these last 4 or 5 years, roughly, that have affected your ministry in a positive way?
I want to answer that question, but in the age that I am now, certain things leave me. In the introduction, I forgot to mention my wife. My wife of 43 years, and we're so happy. We're still together and doing well and doing fine. So I wanted to get her and give her a shout-out. Cheryl Sherman, I love you, and it's been a real good trip.
Is she retired as well?
Yeah, she's just retired with Toledo Public Schools after 36 years.
Oh,
I had 33 years. She had 36 years in administration as a special funding officer there with the Toledo Public Schools. But to answer your question about ministry, it has transcended a lot as it opposed to once COVID came, people just didn't have a desire to go to a physical brick-and-mortar church as they used to, as you well know. So it almost forced us to change our ministry to what we're online. Our online presence is very important in these days and time. And keeping in mind that we can still share the gospel, but we're kind of doing it online rather than the physical building itself. Gotcha.
So were you online before COVID?
No, we weren't. Oh. We weren't online before COVID. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I think this is the way that ministry is going forward because our millennials, they do everything on their phones. Everything is a computer. And so
social media and such.
Social media. So the message does that change is just the methodology.
Understood.
The message.
So how are you enjoying that?
I believe it or not, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Yes, I enjoy it. It forces you to be more cognizant of what you say and how you say it because you open yourself up to a wider, broad audience than you did have before. So I enjoy it.
So it sounds like a positive change.
It is. It's a positive change. I would say I much would rather have the people in the physical building.
Yeah.
And they're slowly coming back. They're slowly coming back, and we have an opportunity to reach other new people as well. Mm-hmm. And whatever God originates, God blesses. So God has continued to bless the ministry.
Wow. What the devil meant for evil? last but not least, and we truly thank you for coming in to the Voices of Legacy today, Voices Around Us initiative, and sharing your life. I think testimony is truly a blessing to those that hear it. And I think this is going to bless a lot of people that wouldn't have heard it any other way. Looking back on your career ministry and the moments and the accomplishments and the great legacy, as you look towards the future, what are your hopes for your church victory life and the churches of the living God and the legacy that you wish to leave behind?
Very good question. And I would answer that with succession. I've been pastor here at Victory Life for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm always preparing for the next. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, it's my extreme desire is to prepare a next leader or prepare a next successor. Mm-hmm. As we all know that Moses, he had a successor as well. And it kind of set a format, I think, that where ministry and any business, you should always prepare a next. So we're trying to be effective as we can in the now. But at the same time, also keeping as a priority of providing next, because as we know that if God does not come back to earth, which we believe that he will, if he doesn't do it for another 10 or 20, 30 years, there has to be a successor to keep the ministry going.
So keep it going.
Exactly.
That's the legacy.
Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, we thank you for joining us for the Voices of Legacy. Thank you for remembering to say something about your wife.
So you
can go home now.
Yes.
And be safe. And all of your work in the community, as well as the legacy that you've left, even in the fire. I think we've had one other firefighter on here recently, but in the fire department locally, we hope and pray that you have many more years ahead of you, and the message that you share today will be a blessing to someone. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.